The Partisan Diaries, a holiday interlude. Tyranny, by definition, is embodied by the term cruel king, an oppressive power usually exerted by a government and given to a single individual who rules oppressively, harshly, and unjustly. History is replete with accounts of tyrannical rulers who trampled freedom, destroyed personal rights, and snuffed out lives and liberty, all in the name of and for causes that tyrants, a few minority, deemed righteous. Amidst this oppression, however, rose men, women, and children who, for the love of freedom, drew lines and built walls to resist tyranny. Most were ordinary citizens who risked all for what they loved and cherished, those inalienable rights endowed to them by their Creator. It has been said that one can see the future through the lens of history. Heroic men and women, fighting for a godly cause, give us hope and direction as patriots in the future as they boldly fight against tyranny. These are their stories. Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day, 1942. Finch Family Home, Silver Springs, Maryland. Dear Diary, this Thanksgiving Day, while the world is at war, my heart sings a joyful tune as I prepare a holiday meal for my family. I long for the day when my entire family will gather permanently around a dinner table. However, the sacrifices of my family and every American is worth every ounce of effort for the cause of freedom. When the war started some time ago, I knew my household would soon feel the impact. As a mother of six strapping boys, it was inevitable that one of them would be directly involved in the war effort. I am fortunate that it has only been one. My other five, all members of the Coast Guard, are home this holiday, allowing me to touch and hug them, sharing their love, if only for a short time. Having a child in a war-torn, wearied country in constant danger worries me. Many feel that this sacrifice is enough for Americans. However, many foreigners risk having their homes destroyed and businesses devastated as entire families are threatened, many losing their own lives. As Americans, we have not forgotten their losses, as our own lives and livelihoods have also significantly changed. Preparing today's Thanksgiving Day feast was, in and of itself, a challenge. The war effort pulled precious commodities off of grocery shelves to provide sustenance for our troops. Basic items such as meat, butter, and sugar were hard to come by. Even little items, spices such as cinnamon, nutmeg, paprika, were gone. "If your turkey isn't spicy, blame Hitler," someone remarked. Many other types of foods were rationed, including cooking oils, cheese, ketchup, coffee, and many canned items. Many found it possible to make cranberry sauce and other items without sugar. We often resorted to home-foundered honey and lard to make our sweet desserts with. I was ecstatic to find a recipe for a cake that did not need eggs, butter, or milk. The Fanny Farmer Baking Book's War Cake was made with brown sugar, raisins, shortening, flour, spices, salt, and walnuts. I was fortunate enough to lay my hands on a locally raised turkey. The bird was pricey at 18 cents a pound, but well worth the $3.72 I paid. My victory garden allowed me to provide the extras, including mashed potatoes, golden yams, and side vegetables that rounded out the meal. My dinner guests ate well. The talk at the Thanksgiving Day table revolved around the war and its effects on daily life in America. This year, for the first time in history, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was canceled. President Franklin Roosevelt asked the public to recycle all rubber items, which were vital in manufacturing planes and ships for the war. The parade balloons were deflated, shredded, and donated to the government, giving them a whopping 650 pounds of scrap rubber. The rubber shortage affected more than just the parade. Car owners are allowed to buy only 5 new tires per year, a restriction that will continue as long as the war marches on. It's just as well, though. Gas rationing has limited our ability to purchase fuel. Further, the government implemented a victory speed limit, which restricted vehicle speed to 35 miles per hour. Earlier this year in Baltimore, 3 individuals were cited for exceeding the victory speed limit. All 3 had their gas rations revoked. The American government's restrictions haven't stopped with food and gasoline, however. Winter heating fuels are also being rationed. Many homes this winter will remain chilly, while others will rely on alternatives, such as wood, to keep themselves warm. And while working was never a new concept to women, the government launched a campaign to lure women into the workforce. Many households have found the breadwinner, the man, gone to war. Automobile plants and other manufacturing sites have been converted to build military vehicles and munitions for shipment overseas. Women have flocked to jobs typically held by men, not only to earn money for their households, but to fill the employee void left by the war. It is estimated that, at the beginning of the war, nearly 12 million women worked outside the home. This number is destined to increase as fighting overseas continues and the military gathers more men to aid the Allied campaigns. This year, the war effect took its toll on sporting events as well, especially the American Thanksgiving tradition of football. College and pro football teams have struggled to remain active after losing players to the military. The Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Rams didn't have enough team members to actively play. Other teams found creative ways to keep the ball moving. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers merged into one team, the Steagles, rather than to cancel their playing season. The team, filled with players who were once fierce rivals, managed to come together as a solid unit. Although the Steagles did not prevail as champions, their record of 10 fumbles during one football game in which they won remains an NFL record to this day, and overall, they had a winning season. As we finished up our Thanksgiving Day, we relaxed and listened to programs on the radio. My sentimental heart thought of how comforting it was to have a home and a family. I also pondered the sacrifices that each of us, as Americans, are making during this time when chaos is filling the world. I asked my husband to turn up the radio as our president, Franklin D. Roosevelt, came on and gave his Thanksgiving Day proclamation.
It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, across the uncertain ways of space and time. Our hearts echo those words, for the days are with us again, when at the gathering of the harvest we solemnly express our dependence upon Almighty God. The final months of this year, now almost spent, find our republic and the nations joined with it, waging a battle on many fronts for the preservation of liberty. In giving thanks for the greatest harvest in the history of our nation, we who plant and reap can well resolve that in the year to come, we will do all in our power to pass that milestone. For by our labors in the fields, we can share some part of the sacrifice with our brothers and sons who wear the uniform of the United States. It is fitting that we recall now the reverent words of George Washington. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, and that every American in his own way lift his voice to heaven. I recommend that all of us bear in mind this great psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Inspired with faith and courage by these words, let us turn again to the work that confronts us in this time of national emergency, in the armed services and the merchant marine, in factories and offices, on farms and in the mines, on highways, railways, and airways, in other places of public service to the nation, and in our homes. Now, therefore, I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, do hereby invite the attention of the people to the joint resolution of Congress, approved December 26, 1941, which designates the fourth Thursday in November of each year as Thanksgiving Day. And I request that both Thanksgiving Day, November 26, 1942, and New Year's Day, January 1, 1943, be observed in prayer, publicly and privately.
Today was a joyous day in my home, despite the hardships that we've dealt with. As my family gathered in prayer, we honored our Lord God Almighty and His bountiful blessings on we, His people, and petitioned for victory and safety for His righteous ones on the war front. In spite of the struggles and strife, the dislocation of our normal life, I'm glad that I'm an American. May our solid spirit and God's continued blessings we've encountered this Thanksgiving holiday continue for generations to come.